Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, this is the Apostle Peter, and he's speaking to the church. Beginning in verse 9. But you, and he's speaking to you, not the church out there somewhere, but everybody take your finger, take your index finger. Now point it right here. That's who he's talking to. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. I love the King James Version there says we're a peculiar people. And I've said this before, and I won't name any names, but some of us are more peculiar than others. That's who we are, church. What we just I want to say it again. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. So that's who we are. Now we're going to move into what's that all about? That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. That's it. Now, if the ushers will come forward, we'll close the service. That's a sermon right there, church. That's who we are, and that's what we're called to do. Once, he goes on, once we were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world. Does anybody ever feel like an alien and a stranger in the world? I mean, if you're not feeling a little bit alien, a little bit strange in this world, we need to talk. We should feel like we're swimming upstream, church. I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. Please, somebody say amen. Amen. All right, let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Billy filled in very nicely for me last week, gave me a break, but the 3 weeks prior to that, I had been preaching the sermon series, We're Not in Kansas Anymore, and I just... Every time I watch the news or read the paper or see these things, it's just like on and on and on. You just see this like, it's like we're losing our mind. And I kind of detailed that for 3 weeks. And I'll tell you, those kind of sermons take a lot. I don't know what they do to you. They take a lot out of me because I'd rather be an encourager rather than talking about all the stuff going on in our life. But sometimes you got to do what you got to do. The Lord was calling me to preach that. But how we... You know, Dorothy in the movie, she found herself in this land that was strange. It's like, this isn't Kansas. I mean, everything's different. And that's what I have been sensing in our nation and in our culture. It's just everything's changing and it's going chaotic. Well, this morning we're going to shift gears and we've talked about what's going on. We're going to talk about how do we not only survive in Oz, but how do we thrive in Oz. I was in the doctor's office this week, and they had a poster on the wall, and I was kind of thinking that this is where I was headed this week with the sermon, and this poster was entitled Live Well. And this particular doctor's a Christian, and I knew that they were a Christian, and it just had some different, bullet points of different things to do to live well, and it got me to thinking, and it's like, yeah, how do we survive and thrive in this foreign land? Because God has said we are a peculiar people. We're strangers in this world because we no longer belong to sin. We belong to Christ. We are new creations. So we want to just talk about, and I'm going to hit these. There's 10 of them. You remember the old David Letterman? We don't have those lists anymore. Remember his top 10 list? This is not an inclusive list. It's not everything that we should do, but it's some good stuff that we should do that help us to thrive in Oz. To thrive in Oz, we need to live out God's plan and purpose. Live out, you know, our culture is, and it comes so naturally and instinctive to us, and I include myself in this, to be self-centered, doesn't it? I mean, and boy, if we've ever, man, our culture is just so self-indulgent. It's like whatever we want that makes us feel good, and you know, we really, you know, everybody else is on, you know, you're on your own, but I'm going to take care of Jeff. That's the mentality of our culture. But that is not the plan of God. God's plan, we just read it just a moment ago. We're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God with purpose. Our purpose is to declare the praises of Him who called us out of this brokenness into this wonderful life. He has called us to declare His praises. Our life should be this neon sign that says, God is good. It's as if when we walk around, people should see us and go, what's up with that guy? There's something different about that guy or that girl. There's storm is raging around. Everybody else is panicking because our business may get shut down. Everybody else is panicking. And that girl has peace. What's up with that? She's declaring the praises of God who's called her out of the darkness into this marvelous light. That's our purpose in life. If you ever wonder what's the purpose of life, there you go. To bring God glory. Amen. To thrive in Oz, number two, we need to live with integrity. Peter says it in this passage we read today, verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires. God is not this, and I say this so many times, God is not this cosmic killjoy that just wants us to just be bored in life. So He's like, oh, He's got this list of all this fun stuff we can't do. No! He has this stuff that He asks us not to do because He knows that that stuff leads to death. All this stuff that the enemy, the devil, he tries to induce us, seduce us with this all this sin in our life. And as soon as you do it and think that that's the way to feel whole, and then soon as we do it, He shames us. Man, I can't believe you. He's the one that seduced us to do it. And then, man, dude, you're a scumbag. Hatcher, I can't believe you did that. He seduces us and then He shames us. We should live such lives that though we are accused of wrongdoing, they may see your good deeds and glorify God. Once again, we should be this just neon light that says, God is good. Watch me. And it's not so that we will receive praise, but so that we can reflect the praise up to God. Now, here's the problem. When we call ourselves a Christian, and then when we fall, it does damage to the gospel. Do you understand that, church? Shake your head if you understand what I'm saying. I see it with pastors, especially like you see it so many times. Well, not just with televangelists, these guys on TV, but even I've known pastors that, man, when you're proclaiming the gospel and when you fall and when you succumb to that sin in your life, it does serious damage to the gospel. That's when the non-believers go, see there? You talk a good game, just like all the rest of us. God is calling us to live a life of integrity. I just want to tell you, you know, I'm just telling you, I'm not beyond falling. And as soon as you think you're beyond falling, guess what's happening next? You fall. But because I understand that I, your pastor, am not beyond falling, I build some boundaries into my life. When I first got here, my office door was a solid door, and I have to do counseling from time to time with folks, and sometimes women. And the very first day, I was asking around, who can cut a window in my door? I want a window in my door, because sometimes they ask me if I can shut my door. I don't want to be in my office with the door shut when people can't see what's going on. Be a man, be a woman of integrity. You want to thrive in Oz? You want people to be drawn to you so you can draw them to the Father? Be a man and a woman of integrity. Live such a good life, Peter says, that though others may try to accuse you, they may try to say things, it's like, all you got to do is go, show me. What did I do? Show me what I did. Third thing, to thrive in Oz. This one's important. Laugh whenever you can. Why should people living in sin have all the stinking fun? I'm not kidding. I tell you all the time, man, it's cool to laugh in church. It's fun. We should have fun. I've had more fun since I've been a Christian than back when in those days when I was lost building my testimony. Johnny, you know what I'm talking about. My best friend from junior high and high school is here this morning. What happened in junior high and high school stays in junior high and high school. Laugh. Man, I call them people that, like, I'm a Christian. Don't do that. Thou shalt not. Does that draw anybody to Christ? Laugh. Have fun. I'm going to show this goofy. I wasn't sure if I was going to. Lee, show this goofy video. This is what poor Billy. I coaxed him into this stuff.
Let's show the kids our vintage airplane here. We've got a 1947 Stinson Voyager. Only the greatest aviators fly these planes. It's a little old. Come around here. I want to show you something. Tell them about this propeller, Buzzard.
Well, this is an old-school propeller, just like we're old-school aviators, old-school pilots. This is actual wood, and we inspected for termite damage and hadn't found any yet, so I think we're going to try to get this thing up in the air.
Yeah, don't try this at home. This is only for professional aviators like Buzzard and myself. Now, this apparatus here, this whole apparatus is called the empennage. Now, look that up. It's there. Now, this is called a horizontal stabilizer right here.
That's correct.
Well, tell them about the rest of this, Buzzard.
Well, and this is a vertical stabilizer, and you got your elevators here. That's what kind of helps you to lift and not lift. And then you got your rudder. That directs your turning right and left.
Yeah. And of course, you got seat belts inside. That's always important, too. Yeah.
Well, Eddie, it's been a great week. I've enjoyed being with you while I'm at this church where we've been learning about trusting God.
Yeah, trusting God. As a matter of fact, we're fixing to do that when we fly in this 1947 vintage Stinson Voyager. They don't make them like this. It's kind of like us, Billy. They don't make them like this anymore. You ready to get on the road, buddy?
I'm ready to get in the air. It's been a great week.
One of the things that during Billy got a little technical there. That makes you go up and then down and whatever you swear. For lifting, what was it? Lifting and not lifting? Yeah. And y'all know y'all couldn't tell this, but we'd got all that on one take. I mean, it was amazing. Amazing when you're a professional. You know, one of the things with the kids, I know everybody. Some of our ladies, I've come off the back of the building a couple of times during VBS and come out of the ceiling and done, what do you call that, zip line across the back. And last year I did it, and a couple of the ladies were going, Pastor, you need to quit doing that. You're getting too old for that. But one of the things we want to teach the kids is, it's fun being a Christian. It's fun being a Christian. Man, laugh when you can, church. You want to survive and thrive in Oz. Laugh when you can. Fourth thing, to thrive in Oz, work hard as to God. Work hard as to God. In Colossians, Apostle Paul says it this way, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Now, I want to say, any of you who hire people, if someone says that they're a Christian and you hire them on and you find them taking a nap, you know, in the supply room in the back, you know, when they're on the clock, I mean, what is that saying about us? What is that saying about our witness when we don't put in a day's work for what we're being paid for? Work hard as a Christian. Christians should be the best employees, bar none. We should be the best employees there are. Fifth thing, to thrive in Oz, make time for God and others. Make time for God and others. And this goes back to the vision statement for our church, love God, love people, offer Christ, to make time for God and others, to, again, to take our eyes off of ourselves and to put it out on God and on His people, to love on His behalf. Number six way to thrive in Oz is to be merciful and forgive. To be merciful and forgive. Peter asked Jesus, so how many times should I forgive the guy who's wronged me? Up to seven times? Don't you love Peter? I love Peter because I can relate to him, man. I mean, he thinks he's got it all going on, and Jesus is just like, no, Peter, not seven times. 70 times seven. In other words, as many times as it takes, we forgive as God's people. We forgive because we are a forgiven people. If we are with, you know, Jesus said, if you ain't got sin, go ahead and pick up a rock and you be the first one to chunk it. We forgive and we're merciful because we have a God who forgives us and He is merciful to us. Seventh way to thrive in Oz, say I love you often. Hello. Say I love you often. I don't know what it is about guys, us men. We have trouble with those words. I'm just telling you, if you got kids, if you got grandkids, what a spouse, whatever, I mean, moms, dads, just tell them you love them. It's three little words, but it's difficult sometimes. I don't know what it is. Y'all have heard this story probably before about me and my brother. It's like Jay was almost 3 years older than me, and when Jay was killed, I was the last one at his bedside, and I got to thinking later. It's like I don't remember ever telling. I was 40 when that happened, and I can't remember in my 40 years ever saying that to Jay. I couldn't remember, but I want to tell you at that moment it just came flooding out of my mouth, over and over and over. That's what kept flooding out of my mouth. I love you. And you know, I've preached on love before. Love is not just words. Love is a verb. Love is action, doing. It's an intentional action towards the other person. You know, and you've heard me say this, that Jesus, the most loving act in the history of the world, was a man hanging on a cross. That Jesus did not feel warm and fuzzy when the nails were going through his hands and his feet. It was not a warm and fuzzy moment. It was an intentional, loving, selfless act on His behalf for you and I. That's love. That's our standard. That's the gold standard for us when we think about loving. Eighth thing to thrive in Oz, guard your thoughts, words, and actions. Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians says, take every thought captive. You know, that's one of the ways, and it's probably the primary way that the enemy, the devil, works on us is through our thoughts. He plants thoughts. It could be things like, like, hey, I may be married, but hey. Or it could be like, yeah, I'm pretty good, aren't I? Or it could be like, oh, they'll never miss $50. Or, I mean, just all of these thoughts that flash through our minds. They're like, I think I could get away with that. God says, take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. When we get those thoughts that are not of God, and when sometimes I'll find myself, it's really strange how the enemy works. I'll find myself minding my own business, just going about my day, and all of a sudden, it's usually right, it could be right before I come here to preach, it could be right before I'm doing something significant for the Lord, and I get a thought. It's like, you remember when that dude did that back to you 30 years ago? You remember what he said to you? I mean, it's like, comes out of nowhere. It's just, poof. And I start thinking about something that somebody did or said or something that hurt me years ago. Guess what? Take those thoughts captive. And I've learned, when I get those thoughts, I've learned that that's from the enemy. And I just, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going there. I rebuke that thought in the name of Jesus. I'm not thinking about that. I just declare the praises of God just over that. And when we take those thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ, suddenly, guess what? It says that if we resist the devil, he will what? Flee. Guard your thoughts, your words, your actions. They have significance. Ephesians, again, the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus, he says, among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. And we just established who we are. We're a chosen people, we're a holy people, a royal priesthood. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Let our thoughts, let our actions, let our words glorify God if we want to thrive in Oz. Number 9. Trust God. Just trust Him. Condensed version of this, I've said it before, but back when I was transitioning to ministry, it was a longer transition than I had anticipated, and I was really just kind of, I was angry at God. I was frustrated because things were not happening as quickly and as on the path that I had mapped out and thought they were going to happen. And I was really just kind of, I'd kind of gone through that anger stage with God, and now I was kind of in a desperate stage with God. It's like, God, I need to know something here. We're drowning here. And I remember I fasted. Fasting was new to me, and I've never done it like this since. But I basically said, God, and it wasn't a pouty thing. It was more just, I need to hear from you. And I was just like, God, I'm not eating until I hear from you. I'm not, and it wasn't a stomping my feet pouty type of a thing. It's like, God, I need to hear from you that bad. And if you know me, you know I like food. And I was just like, God, I'm not eating until I hear from you. Something. Whatever you want to tell me. I'm here, I am. And I can't even, it boggles my mind. I went 11 days. And I'd go have lunch with people, and I'd have a glass of tea, and it was like no big deal. But on that 11th day, I went home for lunch, and Cheryl was making some Mexican food. I like me some chips and hot sauce. And I saw that chips and hot sauce, and I was just thinking, I could like eat that and the table it's sitting on right now. And so I went back in my bedroom. I told Cheryl, I said, I'm going to go spend some time with the Lord. Went back in the bedroom, and I was like desperate. I was like, Lord, you need to either take this hunger away from me, or you need to speak to me. And I opened up the Bible. And here's the verse it fell open to. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. And I'm telling you, man, I don't know if you ever felt the presence of God like that, like I did that moment, but I mean, God just floated over me, and I just really felt like He was just saying, I got this. Trust me. I got this. And I was just weeping in the bedroom by myself, and I went in the, after I kind of got composure, I went back in, I told Cheryl, I said, come here, and I told her what had just happened, and we just wept together. We hugged, and we just celebrated that God didn't, I was expecting this move to Africa. You know, something that, I don't know, that sounds kind of like God. But he didn't say that. He said, trust me. I'm God. And I love you. Trust me. It may look chaotic right now. It may look like life is out of control. But trust me. And the next thing I did is went and had me some chips and hot sauce. God is good. And he loves us. And then number 10, to thrive in Oz. Finish strong. Finish strong. My cousin that lives down in Gatesville, that's older than me, he's about 62 and has some health conditions, is probably going to end his life. And he's a strong Christian, and Mom and I went to see him a few weeks ago, and he's very discouraged because, I mean, he knows this, the end is coming, and he's before his time. I mean, he's 62, and this condition is not reversible. It's not fixable, and he's really discouraged. And I felt like the word God had for me to share with him was this 2 Timothy passage where I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And I told him, I said, Alan, I said, I know you're kind of getting a bum deal right now, but man, dude, finish strong. Finish strong. You know, whatever time that the Lord has given you to finish out, finish strong. Live our life like we didn't have tomorrow. And I told him, you know, and I tell people this a lot of times, like, I could get hit by a car walking through the parking lot. I mean, none of us are guaranteed our next breath. None of us. Did you know, I don't know if you knew this, none of us are getting out of this world alive. Did you know that? I mean, if it hadn't dawned on you yet, we're not any of us getting out alive. Someday, someone will be doing your funeral. Someone will be doing my funeral. Live our life like it was the very last day on earth. A few years ago, my goofy daughter, I have two goofy daughters, this was daughter number two, had asked me to go skydiving with her on her 21st birthday. And y'all have seen the video and all that stuff. I'm not going to show you that again. But, like a dummy, I said, sure, I'll do that. And I thought that was 8 months before her birthday, and I thought, she'll forget. She wakes up in a new world every day. And she'll forget. About a month before that, it's like, Dad, we still going skydiving? Anyway, we ended up going skydiving, but before that happened, she let me off the hook. She said, Dad, I've done a little check-in. I know that's real expensive to do that, and we don't have to go. And I was like, inside, I'm going, whoo. All 16 of my hairs were matted to my head, man, I'm telling you. And she let me off the hook, and I was like, well, okay, you know. So I'm like, whoo, man, that was close. And I go to this meeting, this church meeting with some other pastors, and we're praying and all, and then my DS at the time plugged this song in and wanted us to use it as a little meditative song before. And it's not a Christian song, but I want you to listen to this song. It's not a Christian song, but it's not a bad song. And as I speak of finishing strong, go ahead and play that, Lee.
I was in my early 40s with a lot of life before me when a moment came that stopped me on a dime. I spent most of the next days looking at the x-rays, talking about the options and talking about sweet time. I asked him when it sank in that this might really be the real end. How's it hit you when you get that kind of news? Man, what'd you do? And he said, I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a full moon. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. He said, I was finally the husband, and most of the time I wasn't. I became a friend would like to have. And all of a sudden going fishing wasn't such an imposition. And I went 3 times that year, I lost my dad. Well, I finally read the good book and I took a good long hard look at what I'd do if I could do it all again. I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Blue Mansion, and I looked deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like dying. Like tomorrow was a gift and you got eternity to think about what you do with it. What did you do with it? What did I do with it? What would I do with it? Skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds.
I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to also to all who have longed for his appearing. That's us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have set us apart. You have set us apart through Christ. Not that we might receive glory with our good deeds, but that we might bring glory to you. Teach us, God, how to swim upstream in this broken world, this brokenness all around us. Father, teach us to love as you love. Teach us to trust you and to finish strong. Teach us to be a person of integrity, a holy people. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. as we close, if you want to stand. The altar rail is open. I'll be up front if you would like to pray with me. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, man, what a great day for Him to become your Savior. I'll be up front.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus.
Tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you.
Cry, hold.